It's being felt all across the world. I bring it to you this morning. Our band delivered a solid message this morning. Young Kerry Joby's doing it out there in the front lines of church after church, minister after minister, reminding us you have a defender. Anybody need that today?
Yes, every day.
What a week. And for some of you, what a day. Even on the way over here. For me, it was yesterday. All heck broke out. My wife watched it. 50-yard line seats. I had a tremendous amount of stuff that the planets couldn't have lined up any worse throughout the day. And as a result, I had a hard time staying home. I had a hard time focusing home, as in that thought, you're my defender. I left home. I left that thought. I went fishing. I haven't gone fishing in 8 months with all the soccer stuff and coaching stuff. I just needed to be near the water. And the wind came up. I saw one red flag turn to two. A small group of high schoolers from our Christian club at the school, FCA, six guys, came up. Catching anything? No. But they struck up conversation. I wasn't aware of it then, but I'm aware of it now. The Lord was at work in home. I was encouraged. I came home and I started putting on the songs you're listening to, and for one song after another, my heart came alive. I don't know how else to say it. At first, losing heart and feeling that destruction, the words got through because I had to change where I was. I had to change my environment. I had to get out of the hell that I was finding myself in. And I'm a pastor. I know this is going on. There's not just opposition in my life. There's got to be some opposition going on out there. Anybody? Okay. Yeah. Come home. And this morning, this is birthed out of the reminder. And Carol Ann and a few others that went to Gateway and some of these conferences, they know, they've heard this psalm before. And I heard it for my first time at this year's Gateway conference, and I melted. I melted. It wasn't because of the lights or the band. It's because I was reading. I thought I lost me. You knew where I left me. You picked me right up. Behind the scenes with God. A little refresher. It's brief this morning. It's very practical. I need this. And I would think that with all the headache some of you have been in today, literally getting out of the mud, some of you need this too. Because once you clean it all off, there's something very beautiful down below. Literally, in the literal sense, behind the scenes, there's something beautiful. I watched a group of guys. A few of us got a chance to help out with the landslides this week, but I watched a group of guys continue to work days later until the streets were clean. It wasn't enough that the mud was gone to the level of just, you know, some dust and a little bit of dirt. They wanted to clean the streets. They wanted to thoroughly brush that stuff off. It's the first impression. It's Clarissa. It's the road everyone comes in on. And they did such a good job. And I thank those guys. Four or five of them just busting it all weekend. It's good stuff. They may even be out there right now. I don't know. It's our town. It's our town. Behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. Today I'm calling this the Great Defender. With God being behind the scenes. Talking about confidence. And it hits a pulse. It hits a pulse in this community. Because so much of this is opposed. Just a few minutes ago, literally a few minutes ago, before I came up here on stage, a person walked in front of our church here, and to the volunteers out front, and I was just right up there, said some very ugly remarks. Very ugly remarks. They're volunteering to greet people. And they cruise right by the sidewalk and bingo. I'm not going any further with it. But they stand on the front lines. They have no idea behind the scenes at the warfare and the opposition that happens when God's people meet together. The band was playing the Defender song. I mean, it doesn't get any more realistic in the spiritual realm that there is an enemy. It will hit something that's important to you because in many ways, including my morning yesterday, we lack confidence. Lack of sleep, poor diet, some bad news on an email, somebody did something in town that was a close friend of yours, let you down, whatever it is. Those things hit. I see it every weekend. I see it as I say hi to people, I have a hard time making eye contact. I see it on Front Street. I definitely see it on school campuses. You can see it when a kid comes out of a game and they had a rough first quarter, or they got three fouls in the first quarter, and they're just struggling. Confidence goes out the door. We know that people lack confidence because of certain cliques that they join here, certain island groups that, you know, with other people lacking confidence, there's confidence there. Certainly, they join teams. But they won't walk through doors like these, generally speaking, unless they're with a group or they're invited by someone. I was that way. Many of us lack confidence to live life. And it's not just a young person thing. Those statistics are out of control, no doubt about it. But folks that are sages and elderly here, yeah, you give up your heart. You give up an opportunity. Just instead of seeing life in your years, you'd rather give up years of your life. The world and its crap does not stop the avalanche, very much like the mudslides this week. And it was heavy, and it didn't seem to want to stop. Thankful for the rain. Don't get me wrong. Thankful as it ever gets. Blessed. Aren't we? Boy, did we pray for years. And the reservoir's overflowing right now. Back into the ocean. Yeah. And sometimes we're not prepared for it. Certain cemeteries aren't prepared for it. Oh my goodness, did it break out here in parts of our town, specifically right here behind us. Crazy. And Janie, it's great to have you in church this morning. Hopefully you're back in order. Getting there. We love you. Many of us walk with our heads down, though, and we lack confidence to really live and to make something meaningful. And God looks at us and says, this is no way to live. This isn't my best for you. I've created you an original masterpiece. You don't have to be a carbon copy. You don't got to look for confidence somewhere. You don't have to hang your head in shame. If you're a Christian, what I'm going to talk about should really excite you this morning, because what God is doing, you can't see necessarily all the time, but it's happening. And if you're not a Christian, I am thrilled you're here. I really am. In fact, you're genuinely seeking something out. You made it here today. You made it here. I mean, just like our friend that went across the front of the church here that did not make it in here, there is a lot of opposition for you in just being seen here, possibly. People that know you, and you made it here. I'm proud of you. And I want you to see what God's doing behind the scenes, to see what God's doing in your life, maybe even get your attention as well. My confidence grows when I understand. Look at your outline this morning. Hopefully you have one. When you understand that God is working, even though I may not see it. Simple. But here, approaching spring, and in a very, very long and beautiful winter here on the island, sometimes we hibernate from these truths. And here in some of the darkest hours of the week, for some people in fear of where their foundation could be, as the mud is moving around, and on the mainland, same thing is happening, I remind you, even though you may not see it, God is at work, and things with Him spiritually are also moving around, even though you may not see it, behind the scenes. No one in here disagrees that things happen behind the scenes. How many have been behind the scenes in Disneyland or Disney World? Okay. If you haven't, maybe you've looked at some YouTubes with this, see the robotronics of some of the things they have, the Pirates of the Caribbean guys, and you know certain things that they do. Pretty epic stuff. And I know that the Adventure Park also offers a behind-the-scenes tour of their waterworks, technical waterworks display, kind of the end of the night thrill that they have over there. It's pretty epic stuff, and you can go behind the scenes and see how the computers generate this. What you've never thought about, I'll bet you, is do you have any idea what's happening behind the scenes here at this little church? There are a handful of very anxiously awaiting Sunday service folks behind the scenes. People are percolating the coffee. People are purchasing the donuts. People are setting that up very early in the morning. John's here warming the building, getting the technical stuff fired up. There's a technical crew sitting back there. Some are computers, some are on sound, and then we have those that are gifted in music. And Christian's up here jamming the bass this morning. Just jumped into the band recently. Behind the scenes, down in the kitchen, guys are cooking, and folks are preparing for children in the classrooms. Some are setting up tables and chairs. And the night before, there's a crew in here maybe cleaning up and getting the church ready for you. Behind the scenes, if you could tour Avalon Community Church, there's room for you here. There's room for you to help here. Several friends are out working, and you could join that team. Maybe you're into hospitality, and that's something you love to do. Great, loving folks. They make this place function. Life is happening behind the scenes. These people are not paid. They're in love with God. They want to serve Him. And we come here and we kind of see it, but we don't think of the stuff that's necessarily happening. I'm going to take it a little bigger right now. It's even bigger in your life. Things are happening in your life. And you don't always see things like you can at a theme park or somebody carrying a tray of donuts here at the church and see service going on or a few volunteers that go down to Mexico and build a house in 48 hours. You can see some of those things, but then again, you didn't go on the trip necessarily, some of you, and you can hear the stories. You can kind of relate to what they're talking about in the environment or see some photos. But behind the scenes, God is working. Houses are being built. People are carrying donuts. Babies are being watched downstairs so moms can have a few minutes to God and for themselves and their spouses up here. It's a big deal. Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. For God knows, He knew His people in advance. He chose them to become like His Son. You know who that is. Underline that. Become like His Son. That's God's goal for us. I felt so out of the family yesterday. Like I said, I ran away from home emotionally, mentally. And I was reminded of this verse. I'm a son. What am I doing? That's God's goal for us. If you're a new Christian, that's the goal of Christianity, by the way. That you and I would become like His Son. Will we ever become perfect? The answer is no. We won't. Some religions teach that you will become perfect. That you will become God, a God. The answer is no. But God's working behind the scenes to make us like His Son. To change our character. To create something new. When we talked several weeks about fully alive, a new foundation that He could build on, God's working behind the scenes to make sure you and I mature. Please put this in your notes. This is not in your notes. God's design is to move us toward maturity. God's design is to move us towards maturity. That did not make it in your notes this week, and I'd love for you to write that in. If you don't have notes, then burn it in this morning. He's looking to move you forward. He's working behind the scenes to change our character. To change our character. God knows that after I was saved, 33 years ago, age 17, a great buddy of mine led me to Christ. If I'd have stayed the same, if my character had stayed the same, I would not be standing here this morning, most likely. A series of events had to happen in my life, and folks genuinely caring for my soul stacked hands in my life. He wants us to know this because some of us in here get so depressed with our sin. I mean, it just weighs us down. Anyone relate? Your sin will punish you. Yeah, it's brutal. It just keeps coming back like a revolving door. And we struggle with the same sin over and over and think, when am I ever going to tackle this thing? Maybe I just need to move. Maybe it's where I'm living. Maybe it's the environment I've got myself in. When am I going to get over this substance abuse, this addiction, this bad habit, my gossip? I can't stop lying, or maybe I'm stealing in whatever form. I'm working behind the scenes, God says. In your life, you'll be more and more like my son. Get it? You're never going to be perfect starting out and perfect ending until we see Christ Jesus. So in between, it's a movement. It's growing us. It's growing us in His Word. The day of perfection is coming. But we definitely don't stay the same. God's plan is that you and I would become a loving, incredible person of Christ. That's His plan for us. And here's what I've talked about to some of you and about your view of God. You believe this. I've told you that the spiritual life can be uphill. And it's not easy. It is not easy as a Christian. We're kind of walking this journey of being a Christian uphill. And God's at the top of the hill for some of you in your image, shouting down. Okay? Shouting down. Like boot camp commands. Like, come on, slacker. All right? Here's an image right here. Maybe some of you have God. If we can put that up there. It's called Mocker. Get up here. Grow. Come on, you wuss. I can't believe it. You come to church every week. You can't grow faster than that. Oh, man, you stink. That type of thing. That's their view of God. And He's just kind of yelling and commanding at us. My view of God is right out of the Bible. God's behind us. He's going, come on. You can do this. You can grow. You can work. I'm about changing you. He's pushing us. He's right there with us. He's encouraging us. And for some of you in here, you're going, yeah, can we just move on? I understand this already. But your day may be tomorrow. For others in this room, you need to hear this right now. God is right alongside you. He's right there. When Carrie was singing that, and when our band was singing that, when I thought I was lost, you knew right where I left me. Why? Because He's distant? No. Because He's right there. Get up, child. I'm training you to become more like my son, my Jesus. You got this. Pick up your bags. Get the mud off. And by the way, it took me like an hour the other day. You're fine. You're going to be okay. He's working behind the scenes to help us grow. God is for us. That leads us to confidence. It's going to help us grow. Here's a creative date. If you're bored and you want something really funny to do, this is really cool, especially high schoolers that may be dating. This is a good thing, okay? Go up to some of the little kids' sports that are going on the fields up there, flag football, AYSO, soccer, and just sit on the sideline and watch what happens on the field. It's wild. Kids are just all over the place. Sometimes their shorts are too big for them. They're tripping over their own shoes. It's their first time to ever play the game. It's hilarious. All the moms and dads are screaming, go, kick it. And the coach is like, no, pass it. You know, all this is all the dynamics of little kids' sports. It's hilarious. And you want a comic relief, it's so fun. Just go up there, even if you don't know any of the kids, and just watch the juniors in action. It's a blast, okay? I was thinking as a varsity coach yesterday, what if I had this big bag of soccer balls, and all I did was walk around with them on my shoulders, and every time one of my girls messed up, I just, you know, kind of reminded them by throwing a ball at them, just beating them in the face. Oh, yeah, just kind of pull my own cleat off and be like, what are you doing that for? Just kind of hit them with it. And before you know it, I'm out of soccer balls, and I got a lot of girls with bruises and black eyes and everything else. And, you know, if they miss a shot, I'm with an extra pair of cleats waiting them on the sideline, sub them every time they do something wrong, and then just keep hammering. Lexa's sitting in the front row going, yeah, I'd play another sport, okay? Yeah, not happening. Do you think I'm going to help them enjoy the game? Absolutely not. And some of you think God is like this cosmic killjoy throwing cosmic soccer balls at you and emotional baggage balls he's just popping us with left and right. Think about it carefully, okay? Think about it. The Bible says God's working behind the scenes, Philippians 1:6. I am sure that God who began, okay, and circle began. Is it up there? Yes, it is. Good. Circle began. The good work. It's going to continue. Circle continue. His work until it's finally finished. Circle finished. On that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Three words, circle. Began, continue, finished. That'd make a cute t-shirt, by the way. Rewind my life 33 years all the way back when I'm in 11th grade. Just a cocky punk. Thought he knew everything. Until a 17-year-old buddy of mine saw me freak out one day. And his name was Scott, good guy, led me to Christ. I knew Jesus in my brain. I just didn't have a grip as to what he wanted to do for me personally. And my buddy Scott, another 17-year-old kid, understood more than I did about Jesus. It was more than head knowledge to him. It was the fact that this was personal. My stuff mattered personally. And I have an enemy. And I needed to take that personally. Some of us have forgotten that we have an enemy. You need to take that personal. Someone who hates you. I take that personal. And he's very real and he's out to destroy your life. And he stands even in the front of our church service with opposition. As if to say, I dare you to do church today, Pastor. I dare you guys to volunteer ever again, welcome team. There's an enemy. You need to take it personally. If you don't, who will? 30 years later, he's continuing the work. He'll continue to grow me and help me mature until he's finally finished. When will he be finished? When I'm dead. When I meet Jesus face to face. Until then, I'm in a process, a spiritual journey of growth. And some of you sitting here and go, hey, that's great, cool. But God's not working behind the scenes in my life. That's not what's happening to me. Yes, it is. It's just a matter of perspective. If you look at your watch and the hour hands, some of you have a hard time doing this. I don't know if you still have watches with hour hands. Typically, we just use our phones and everything's digital. Obviously, you don't see that hour hand. By the way, that's the shorter one, okay? And if I told you to look at it right now, you wouldn't see a whole lot of action going on, would you? Come about it 3 or 4 hours from now and the whole thing's in a different position. Our lives, sometimes we look at our lives the same way and go, I'm not growing. Pastor, I've tried this for 2 years now and I just don't see Jesus doing a thing. Back up. You're growing. Are you more like Christ today than you were a year ago? Do you have joy? Less anger? Do you have more peace? How about better thoughts? Are there things coming out of your mouth that people never heard you say before that are good? Are you thinking about things you have never thought before? I was talking to a lady last week from Calvary Chapel Downey. She's been coaching the varsity girls soccer team for 2 years now. And she mentioned to me that she is celebrating a senior on her team whose grades are now good, but her life was absolutely a shambles. She thought she was pregnant 2 years ago. And the relationship ended right off the bat. It was brutal. She turned to drugs and alcohol. And the amount of people that rejected her at a Christian school absolutely was out of control. And this girl joined the soccer team. And the coach was telling me what a victory it was to see her life in Christ. The girl's life in 2 years has radically changed. But if you'd have stopped her and said, hey, girl, are you growing in Christ, she'd say, I don't know, but it's been overwhelming, and God's working behind the scenes. This coach is celebrating the victories, even though their team didn't do very well. Certain players did. That's God's story. That's 20 minutes from the boat over there at the landing. It's kind of cool. Some of you come up to me after a message and say this message really hit me. Did you plan this? Were you like tapping into my phone lines last night, or? What's going on? No, but I'll tell you this. Congratulations. It means God is working in your life. Because when you tell me something has affected you, He's working. Something's happening. He's impacting you. Something touched you. And all I can say is that behind the scenes, He is active. He is moving. Look at your outline. The biblical truth here is this. To God, you're number one. To this coach, this young lady's life change is the most important thing to her. I enjoyed my conversation thoroughly. First coach I've met that wants to honor God in her coaching, and I really enjoyed that. God's working behind the scenes. He's your fan. He's cheering you on. That's exciting when you understand that. You can play life differently. There's confidence there. Who doesn't need that this morning? You know, one of the things I notice about my players on my team is that when they're dropped off to play and they have a game, they play a little differently when their parents show up or a relative shows up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That used to be in high school. You're playing this back in your head right now, right? You always play a little better when there's somebody that you know in the crowd, right? Roll with me, people. Give me something here this morning. Yeah, right? Okay, so Vaughn's grand opening. Brian's standing there all by himself to cut the thing. Right? No. The whole town came out. The band played. The media's there. All the Vaughn's important guys are there. And it's as if to say, you got this, kid. Cut that thing. Get it going, right? The fans, the cast, the town. What about you? You always work harder and faster and better when someone's watching you? That's God. You and I have a fan. We will also increase our confidence when we realize this part right here. The great defender, God, is working and tracking with your life. Spiritual battle, okay? Or warfare. We don't talk about this a lot. And I'm changing that, at least from where I'm standing right here at this pulpit. I am letting you know that here in this town, this is massive. Okay? This is not a joke. And people that sneer at this or think, you know, you're just involved in battle a little too much. Those are the ones that tomorrow are going to be taken out. I'm letting you know that there is an enemy and he is running rampant in the midst of beauty. And he wants to take your eyes off of beauty and the things that God has created here to find him and to discover him. We never get to, because the enemy is constant. He's after your relationships. He'll take out a dad, a mom, a grandparent, a grandchild. He'll take out the youngest that said, I want to confess Jesus as my Savior. He'll go after him, okay? There is a war that is going on. We cannot see it, but it is there. And the Bible calls it a spiritual battle. Good versus evil. God versus Satan. I'll try to simplify this by saying this. The world's way versus God's way. My wife and I have elected to come to Catalina, not to climb your mountains and surf your oceans. It's awesome. But all of that is not enough. There is a discovery that is here. There is beauty that is here. Unparalleled beauty, by the way, compared to where we're from, that would say there's a designer and he is definitely opposed. And you need to hear that, Avalon. You need to understand that. It's very real. You can't see it, but it's going on. God wants you. And this battle is over your soul. And the enemy is Satan. And he doesn't want you to go to God at all. Satan wants you. I start this verse out by reminding you what you sung. And it was a very gentle couple of young lady voices up here. And here's what they said. And here's why this song is resonating across the country right now. Listen carefully to what is said. You go before I know that you've gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. So if you're thinking flannel graphs right now, okay, you know, pitchforks and horns, God's taking this seriously. He's rising in this town. There are people that are coming alive in their faith because they realize this is the real deal. I care for my spiritual life with Christ, and I care for my brothers and my sisters in Christ. I care for my spouse. I'm not going to let them get taken out. Instead of battling with them, I'm going to battle for them. And they look at this thing and say, I'm going after the head of my enemy. You just sung it. Come back with the head of my enemy. How about the head of my enemy? It is cut. That's how you kill a good snake, a poisonous snake. It's the only way, right? But what happens to the body afterwards? It's not happy and it keeps moving and it's going to... Listen, the enemy has already been taken out, but he's still moving and he's still doing what he can do. And he's still on the move. So let's finish. You come back and call it my victory. Anyone here need one of those this morning? Yeah. How about you go before I know that you've gone to win my war? Your love becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from my dry wilderness. Went through one of those yesterday because I forgot about the love of God. Sung that one this morning too. Try keeping a dry eye in the crowd when you realize you are loved. And our person that went by here that was so upset this morning is missing that component. It's not the donuts. Sorry. They're loved. You are loved. Was praise. All I did was worship. All I did was bow down. All I had to do was stay still. Hallelujah. You've saved me. Thank goodness it's so much better your way. Hallelujah. Great defender. So much better your way. That's all about spiritual warfare. And yet, there's life. There's life. Why? Because it's off of you. You're being protected. Some of you are checking this whole God thing out here going, what's going on here? You may have to just back off this point and jump in on the next one, okay? But for those of you who are Christians, you need to realize there is a real spiritual battle taking place right now. And there's a bully that's out to get you. Almost all of us can relate to this bully stuff. Hottest topic I've seen going around. And yet it's been going on for years, for decades. Maybe that's why it's the hottest topic again. People don't want that anymore. But as long as the enemy is free to roam, there will be bullies. It's a hot topic. I remember as a young person, I played on a team, I think it was my U14s or U12s, and they were called the West Coast Wolves. And this one player on the other team played forward, so he was in a striker position. He was up front. He was the guy that was supposed to score the goals. He was, every time the ball came back to my goalie and he picked it up, and I was center mid, so I'd turn around and watch him. He'd pick it up. This kid would come and stand right in front of him. And back then, you could do that and force the, you couldn't move, but you'd force the goalie to go around you, okay? Now you can't do that. But back then, you could come right up to him, okay? He'd pick up another ball and the guy would slide past him. Just a little reminder. You drop that ball, you screw up once, I'm right here. And then a penalty or a corner kick was taken and everybody's in the goalkeeping box. You know, something from the corner comes in. Everybody's kicking at it. And the goalie comes up to pick it up. And this kid, this striker comes up and just after the keeper completely had the ball to his chest, he just wailed on him and broke his collarbone in front of all of us. Just, you could hear it snap. And I mean, you ever heard the term, the benches cleared, right? There was no time for the benches to clear. Everybody jumped on this kid. And you know who the first ones to jump on this kid were? His own teammates. They were sick of him. They were sick of him. They couldn't believe what he did. My keeper's name was Doug. And Doug healed over the course of several weeks. He made it back to the very end of the season, and we had an away game with the same team. Do we put Doug in the game? Would you? Heck yeah, we did. Doug's in the game. And that coach of the other team made that player that caused that accident sit out the entire game. And afterwards, I didn't say much. I was a punk. But I saw my coach thank the other coach. Thank you for that. This is a great game. I don't care who won or lost. I don't even remember the score. I remember when somebody stood up for what was right to a punk, to a bully. He needs the love of God, but we need defenders to stand up and say, you're not going to get away with this. This is not okay. No passivity here. You're wounding other people. You're out of control. And your wounds, your agreements, your life, and the stuff that you've been taken out by the enemy here, you need some work. Sit down. Sit at the bench. You're not welcome to go back to class today. You're disturbing everyone. You're not okay in the job. You're harassing people. Let's get this straight. Let's get you back in the game. As I think about that, every one of us in here can relate to that. Here's the reality. Look at your outline. God has your back. Romans 8:31. God has your back. What can we ever say about such wonderful things as these? Underline this. If God is for us, who can be against us? If I had to choose a great Wildman verse for Wildman, bam. Okay? Don't worry. When I talk about spiritual battle, they'll picture Satan on a leash. He's turning up the offense, pressuring you, swarming you, looking for the first opportunity for you to screw up, and he's going to strike. He's more than anxious to take you out, shut you down, shut your witness off altogether. That's the deal, is he comes in and he's looking to shut your witness down completely. Kind of like a nasty dog on a leash, a real one of those violent ones, yapping. Can't get you because he's got a bodyguard. You've got a bodyguard, he's watching after you. But the first sign that you screw up or he comes off that leash, he's after you. And he's constant. And for those of you who are Christians, Satan has lost you to eternity. Did you catch that? Is there anyone that wants to say amen in the house? Yeah, you've received Christ. The enemy has lost you to eternity, but now he can try to make you live in fear so that you won't be effective. And if you're losing today, and if you're not home here, and you're ineffective, he can say, hey, don't try to invite your friends to church. You crazy? Come on. That's not your style. Whatever the enemy puts a spin on, he'll do. They're going to think you're some kind of Jesus freak. Hey, pastor, advertising this service on social media? Are you seriously advertising this service on social media? Are you going there? Oh, my gosh. You want to tick the enemy off big time? Go there. You should see the stuff I get. I consider this a special event. I consider this for Catalina something to discuss. It's church. God is working, and I'm dealing with pushback all over the place. People aren't liking it. They're not liking it when you stand up for Christ lovingly, right? Not, you know, to pick a fight with them, but to say, I care. I care. You're upset about something. You want to be upset about bullies? Fine. You want to actually do something about it? We need to pray. We need God. And that's how you do something and advertise it. We're going to pray for our bullies. We're going to pray for these parents doing diddly squat. We're going to pray for something here. That's a new concept? No. It's God's work. It's what he wants to do. You're a missionary, for those of you who haven't figured it out yet that know Christ. You're on mission. Love your town in such a way that you have the confidence of your bodyguard and step into it. Number three, when I thought I lost myself, God, you knew right where I was, right where I left me, to give me gifts. Not only is he working behind the scenes, not only is he there to defend us. The verse continues, since God did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Circle everything. God wants to give you everything. Everything you want. Ephesians 1:3. And how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with every, circle every. This is huge, okay? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Why? Because you belong to Christ. You belong to him. What is this? Gift us with every spiritual blessing. Where are some of the spiritual blessings that we get to gift us? How about this one? Forgiveness. I agree. Beautifully timed. forgiveness. I can be forgiven of my past, my present, and things that I do in the future. It's an awesome gift. How about this one? The Holy Spirit's within me. Everybody say within me. Within me. He's in you. That's a gift. How about God's power? You stand on the sideline and there's, you know, and someone starts singing the national anthem. It's fun to watch some of the players. They just go, you know, the national anthem's being sung. It's cool. There's freedom here. This is, you're playing in a country that lets you do this. And this is, God says, I've got so much available to you. My freedom from the bondage you've lived in. My power. Breathe free. Last night I stood out and watched the wind. I mean, I couldn't see the wind, but I saw the effects of the wind. And the power of it. I watched the clouds just flying by. And then I got freezing cold and I went in the house. But I watched it for a few minutes. God's power. How about this? We've been adopted into God's family. I don't know if you need to hear that this morning. Some of you family members, you may have strong families. Awesome. Others may be a little detached. So I'm going to comfort you this morning. You're in God's family. And His family is a great family. Because here's why. You've been made heirs to all of His riches. You've been given the keys. You accept the Savior, His Son. You get what the Son gets. The kingdom is available. That's not a joke. And it's not my word. It's in the Word of God. Guess what? You're prayed for. You're cared for. The believers here want to do that for you. It's a trust thing. Some of you have been burned by church. Maybe not specifically this one. Maybe it was this one. I don't know. Trust is everything. Can I trust this? Will I ever be able to trust this? Can I trust the church? I've seen so much or heard so much. Regardless of what denomination, there's an attack going on to the foundations of the church. God says, I will pray for you. I will care for you. I will send my body of believers there for you. Trust, trust. How about we're guaranteed all things will work out for the good? Anyone know what verse that is and where it's found? Anyone? Romans 8:28. Guaranteed that God is on our side. God is on our side. Here's what many of you say. I know that we're totally forgiven. I know we can live with confidence and be forgiven. We can hold our head high. God forgives us for everything we've ever done. He wants a relationship with us. Understand that He wants us to be reconciled with Him. God is with us in the midst of pain. But do you realize that He's your bodyguard? He's working behind the scenes. And some continue to say, well, can I just live the way I want? Can I just do whatever I please? I mean, if He's got all this under control, can I just keep asking for forgiveness? You know, I mean, I've got a lot of addiction. It's going to take time, Pastor. I think it's a lot easier just to ask for forgiveness. Can I just party till my brain's fried? Can I just destroy my life and live any way I want, then ask God for forgiveness? Heard that. Very common, actually. Yeah, that's it. Luke 14:15. Let me give you something to think about. Jesus tells a story here. Track with me, okay? This is the Word of God. A man's sitting at the table with Jesus, and he says this, what a privilege it would be to have a share in the kingdom of God. And Jesus tells a story, okay? Most of you, if you've read the Bible, you know that Jesus told a lot of stories to make points. He says this, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations to his feast. When the feast was ready, he sent a servant around to notify the guests that it was time to come to the feast. But they all began making excuses. Those who were invited, one said he just bought a field and wanted to inspect it, so he asked to be excused. Another said, I just bought 5 pair of oxen. I wanted to try them out and couldn't attend. Another had just been married. Said, I'm not coming. The servant quickly told the master of the feast that what they said. His master was angry and said, Go quickly into the streets instead. Go to the alleys of the city. Invite the poor. Invite the crippled, the lame, the blind. After the servant had done this, he reported, "There's still room for more." So the master said, "Go into the country lanes, behind the hedges. Urge anyone you find to come, so that my house will be full. For none of those I invited first will get even the smallest taste of what I had prepared for them." When I read that, it says to me that you don't have to attend. You don't have to. You don't have to live God's way. But I believe you're not even going to get the smallest taste of what God has in store for you when you choose the world's way. You're not even going to get the smallest taste of what God has in store for you when you choose the world's way. You're not experiencing life. In fact, you're experiencing misery. Most likely a lot of pain. I would definitely say emotional scarring. Just a lot of scar tissue. God says, when you live my way, you're going to get a taste of life. I'm going to be working behind the scenes so you can feast. And brother, you can feast forever. That's a shot from the Hobbit, by the way. Right on the table. Here's your option. You can pick the food out of the disposal if you want. I mean, we can just grab the can and just pour it all over. And I know some of you are looking at it going, "Hops, come on." Yeah, that's what it looks like very much in this room right now. People just pulling what's left of the chicken off the bone. Or a little separation here. Who knows how long these vegetables have been out. And this is your feast. That's not God's best for you. That's not His design. There are choices that need to be made. And I love this. I love this. Look at your biblical truth here. There is a feast coming. You are the guest of honor. Smile, people. You just got an invitation. Not to the trash can, all right? But to the table. That hobbit-looking table, man. That looked pretty scoochy. A lot of neat things going on that table. The candles, the setup, the food, the company. If you ever watch those movies, the conversations are off the chart. Some of you are choosing to eat scraps. You're living in the garbage disposal. The more you understand and appreciate the feast, the great defender has provided for you, the less you'll think about being attracted to the garbage. Celebrate this windy weekend. Celebrate understanding that you don't want to live the world's way anymore. It's garbage to you. Your great defender has plans for you. Let's pray. And when we're finished praying, I'm gonna leave the stage here, and we're going to play the chorus of that song that we played before, and we're going to allow you to worship and continue worshiping and sing with it if you want. It just kind of is the same words over and over again. And by now, maybe you've heard it and can learn it and burn it in. You may need it. You may need it. God, we think about confidence. We have all the reason in the world to be confident. We know that you're working behind the scenes in our life, defending us, loving us in such a way. You want to gift us. God, I pray that we would walk out of here with a confidence, knowing that if you're for us, who could ever be against us? We can walk through life with a confidence, knowing that we can defeat the enemy, we can live the way you want us to live with a confidence. We don't have to be a carbon copy, but an original masterpiece. Father, may we be different people as we leave here today. Embrace this truth. Thank you for your love. I thank you for those that get up on this windy Sunday and this holiday weekend to come out this morning. It's a gift from you. And the body of Christ is so blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.